All right, get ready for a wild one. Imagine you're running the Atwater Creamery, right? You've got burglary insurance. Seems pretty straightforward.
Makes sense, yeah.
But then, bam, you get hit. Chemicals, thousands of dollars worth, gone. Poof. And your claim, denied.
Oh, no.
Because, get this, there's no sign of forced entry.
Sounds crazy, but it's exactly what set off this huge legal battle, the Atwater Creamery case.
Hey.
This Minnesota Supreme Court decision. It's basically become this, like, cornerstone of insurance law.
Okay, so we're diving into how courts interpret these contracts, especially when the legal wording is, you know, kind of at odds with what a normal person would think.
You hit the nail on the head. It's about that gap between the fine print and what seems like common sense.
Yeah.
Atwater Creamery, they had this policy with Western National Mutual Insurance Company. They were covered for over 30 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, and then 1977 rolls around, their storage building gets hit. Padlocks. Missing, turnbuckles,
yep.
Tampered with, but no smashed window, no busted door, none of that obvious forcible entry their policy was so hung up on.
Wait, so even though it's pretty clear someone stole stuff, the insurance company tried to wiggle out of the claim just because of this super specific definition of burglary.
Yep, that's the gist of it. Atwater Creamery, they're arguing this is ridiculous, especially since their policy was literally for burglary losses.
Right. It's like, what else could it be?
Their point was, any reasonable person would expect this kind of theft to be covered. Come on.
And this is where it gets really juicy. The court actually sided with Atwater Creamery. And get this, it didn't just solve their case. It kind of changed how insurance contracts are looked at, not just in Minnesota, but like beyond.
Big time. The Minnesota Supreme Court, they introduced this thing called the Reasonable Expectations Doctrine. Basically, it means courts can now look at what a regular person would expect from their insurance, even if the super technical language of the policy might say otherwise.
It's like the court stepped in and said, hey, we get it. Legal jargon can be a headache, but insurance is supposed to protect people. Let's be real here.
Exactly. And they realized that strictly enforcing this whole forcible entry thing, it wouldn't actually prevent fraud in this case. It was obvious a burglary happened.
Right. Like, come on.
Plus, forcing everyone to become legal experts just to understand their insurance? That defeats the whole purpose.
So did this case force insurance companies to, you know, be more upfront about what's actually covered? No more hiding these gotchas in the fine print.
That's a huge takeaway. It puts pressure on insurers to make their policies easier to understand and avoid burying major exclusions and definitions. And for us regular folks, it gives us some protection against denials that just feel, well, unreasonable.
But did that mean policyholders can just ignore whatever's written in their contract and claim anything they want?
Not at all. The court was clear. The reasonable expectations doctrine doesn't let you off the hook for reading your policy.
So it's more like a safety net, right?
Yeah.
It's there to prevent these crazy surprises and make sure what the agreement actually means lines up with what a normal person would think it means.
You got it. It's all about finding that balance. You still got to read your policy, but courts are also going to consider what's fair and sensible when those technicalities clash with, like, the whole point of having insurance in the first place.
Okay, so we've got the big picture. But I gotta know, did the court give any, like, specific rules for when this reasonable expectations thing actually applies?
They did, and it's a three-part test. Super important stuff, especially for anyone dealing with insurance disputes.
Hit me with it. What are the three parts?
First up, the part of the policy they're arguing about, it has to basically act like an exclusion. Like with Atwater Creamery, the forcible entry definition, it wasn't just a definition, it was secretly limiting what burglaries they'd actually cover.
Ah, so just having a definition isn't enough. It has to actually take away coverage that a reasonable person would think they have.
Got it.
What's the next part?
That exclusion, it can't be super obvious in the policy, can't be clearly stated and easy to find, no burying crucial stuff in the fine print hoping people will miss it.
That makes sense. What about the third and final part of the test?
It has to contradict what the person with the insurance reasonably expected. So in Atwater Creamery's case, the court looked at things like, you know, their policy was for burglaries, they had been covered for similar things before, and no normal person would know the super technical meaning of forcible entry.
So it's not just about what the words say, but about the whole situation, how the policy's been used before, and what a typical person would understand. Fascinating. But was everyone on the Supreme Court, were all the justices, like, totally on board with this reasonable expectations idea?
That's where it gets even more interesting. One justice, Justice Simonette, he agreed that Atwater Creamery should win the case, but he had a slightly different take on things.
Oh, here come the legal nuances. I'm all ears. Tell me more about Justice Simonette's perspective.
Justice Simonette felt that this whole reasonable expectations idea, it should only apply if the wording in the policy is actually confusing. If it's clear and unambiguous, he thought courts should just stick to what's written.
So he was a little more cautious about using this doctrine all the time, thought it should only be a last resort when the language itself is a mess.
Exactly. It highlights a really important tension. We want to uphold contracts, but we also want to be fair to people.
It's a tough balance for sure.
Yeah.
This debate about how far this doctrine should go, that's still going on today, right?
Atwater Creamery opened the door, but it didn't settle everything.
Absolutely. Right. It set a big precedent, but the details of how it's applied, still being figured out in courts all over the country.
This is already super insightful, but there's one more thing I'm curious about. Atwater Creamery also sued their insurance agent, Charles Strelow. They said he was negligent, didn't explain this forcible entry thing properly. What happened there?
That's a part of the case people often miss. The judge actually sided with Strelow before he even went to a jury.
Wow, so they just dismissed it outright. What was the reasoning there?
The court said Atwater Creamery didn't prove what a reasonable insurance agent should have done differently. They needed an expert witness to back up their claim. So they needed another insurance pro to say, yeah, Strelow messed up.
Right, because the court thought this was all too technical for a regular jury to understand without some expert help. They wanted to make sure any judgment against Strelow was based on, you know, clear professional standards.
This case is like an onion, so many layers. Not only is it about reasonable expectations for the policy itself, but also for how insurance agents are supposed to act.
You said it. It adds this whole other dimension to the discussion about protecting consumers in the world of insurance.
This is all fascinating, but I gotta admit, my brain is a little overloaded with legal details right now. What's the most important takeaway for our listeners, especially those who aren't lawyers?
That's a great question. I think the Atwater Creamery case really boils down to this. Don't just assume you're covered.
It's like, be proactive, right? Don't just trust that everything's going to be fine if something happens. You really got to understand your policy and not be afraid to ask questions.
Exactly. Don't just blindly trust. And that brings up another interesting point. So Atwater Creamery, it set a precedent in Minnesota, but different states. They've kind of taken different paths with this whole reasonable expectations.
Oh, so what's reasonable could actually change depending on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
That makes things even more complicated.
For sure. Some states, they're all about consumer protection. Their courts often side with the policyholder, even if it means going beyond what the contract literally says. Like, they've even said, as long as what the insured person expected was reasonable, it should be honored, even if the policy, like, technically says something different.
Wow. So some states are really serious about protecting people from unfair insurance practices.
Absolutely. Take California, for example. They've got this thing from the Four Corner Rule. It basically means they only look at the actual policy document when figuring out what's reasonable. No sneaky attempts to bring in other stuff like conversations or marketing materials to twist the meaning.
So they're trying to keep things as simple as possible, just focusing on what the policy itself says.
That's a good way to put it. Now, compare that to New York. They're a bit more hesitant with this whole doctrine. In New York, they usually won't even consider reasonable expectations unless the policy wording is actually ambiguous.
So New York's more like, hey, you signed the contract, you should have known what you were agreeing to, right?
Yeah, you could say that. They tend to focus more on the idea that contracts should be upheld, even if the language is, you know, complicated or technical. Like you're saying, we're not rewriting this agreement just because you didn't read it carefully.
Oh, it's this balancing act, trying to protect people, but also respecting the whole idea of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how different states approach that.
It is. And the Atwater Creamery case, even though it was in Minnesota, it really kicked off this bigger conversation about fairness and consumer protection in insurance across the country.
It's like this case was a pebble that made waves everywhere.
That's a great analogy. And those waves, they're still going strong. This case is cited all the time in court decisions and articles. It's a cornerstone of insurance law, for sure.
But let's be real. Even with reasonable expectations, insurance policies, they can still be super confusing. Do you think this doctrine can really handle how complicated insurance is getting, especially with all the stuff happening online? I mean, we're clicking through terms and conditions online all the time, barely even reading them.
That's a great point. And honestly, it's something courts and legal experts are trying to figure out right now, the way we used to think about contracts. Those ideas, they came from a time when agreements were made in person, written down on paper. The internet changes everything.
Like we're using the old rule book for a totally new game.
Exactly. We've got these massive terms of service online, and it's often take it or leave it. Agree everything or you can't use the service. No real negotiation.
So those old ideas of informed consent and having bargaining power, they kind of disappear.
And that's where reasonable expectations could be helpful. It focuses on fairness, making sure things make sense to the average person. It could help courts interpret these online contracts in a way that protects people more.
So we're taking this old legal principle and using it to navigate this whole new online world.
That's the idea. It'll be fascinating to see how this plays out. But for now, let's bring it back down to earth. What are the big takeaways from Atwater Creamery for insurance professionals and, just regular people?
Yeah, let's get practical here. What should people learn from this case to avoid ending up in a messy situation like Atwater Creamery?
For insurance companies, I think Atwater Creamery was a huge wake-up call. Be clear, be transparent, ditch the jargon, and make sure policies are understandable. Hiding stuff in definitions, that's just asking for trouble, especially now that courts are really focusing on protecting consumers.
So it's in their best interest to write policies that are clear and concise. Something the average person can understand.
Exactly. And avoid definitions that basically act as hidden exclusions, that contradict what the insurance is supposed to do and what people would reasonably expect.
Makes sense. What about insurance agents? What role do they play?
Agents are crucial. They're the bridge between the complicated world of insurance and the needs of their clients. Atwater Creamery shows us they need to be proactive, explaining everything clearly and making sure their clients actually get it.
So no more just handing over a stack of papers and saying, sign here. They got to guide people through it.
Exactly. And that means explaining any limitations or exclusions that could catch people off guard. It's about building trust, making sure clients feel good about their coverage.
And what about us, the policyholders? What's the biggest takeaway for us?
It goes back to what we've been saying. Don't just assume you're covered. Read your policy. Yes, the reasonable expectations doctrine is there to offer some protection, but it doesn't mean you can just ignore the contract entirely.
So take responsibility, be an informed consumer.
Absolutely. Read those policies carefully, pay attention to the definitions, anything that seems limiting or unclear, and if you have any doubts, ask your agent or the insurance company. Better safe than sorry.
This has been really eye-opening. We've covered a lot. The details of the case, its impact, how it's playing out now, and what it might mean for the future. But we're not done yet.
Yeah, there's always more to explore, right? So for this last part, let's look ahead a bit. What's the future of this reasonable expectations doctrine? How will it handle all the changes happening in insurance?
That's a great question. We talked about the whole digital age thing, right? Online contracts, clicking through terms without actually reading them. Could reasonable expectations help courts make sense of those online insurance agreements?
It could, definitely. Those core principles, fairness, transparency, common sense understanding, they apply online too. Courts might look at how those policies are designed online, how easy it is to see the terms, the overall experience of the person buying the insurance.
So it's not just the words, but how they're presented online, how easy it is for a normal person to actually get what they're agreeing to.
Exactly. The design of the website or app, those little click-to-accept boxes, how the information is shown, it all adds up to what the policyholder actually understands.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
Insurance companies can't just focus on the legal language anymore. They got to think about how their websites and apps are designed, the whole user experience.
Absolutely. User experience is huge in insurance now, and this doctrine might push them to be even more careful about it.
And then there's AI, right? AI is handling underwriting, claims, all kinds of stuff in insurance these days. How does reasonable expectations fit in with all that?
Another great question, and this is where things get really interesting. As AI takes on more roles, we have to ask, is it transparent? Is it fair? Can people understand how it's making decisions? Imagine your claim gets denied by some AI based on some algorithm you don't even understand. Could you use reasonable expectations to fight that?
Whoa, that's pretty mind-blowing. So we're talking about balancing the power of AI with the need for humans to be in control, making sure it doesn't become this black box that makes unfair decisions.
That's it, exactly. The reasonable expectations doctrine could be a way to make sure that AI in insurance is actually working to protect consumers, that people aren't getting screwed over just because an algorithm says so.
So as technology keeps changing insurance, reasonable expectations could be this guide to make sure those innovations don't mess with people's rights and what they should be able to expect.
Exactly. It's about making sure the law keeps up with the world while holding on to those basic values of fairness and transparency.
This whole journey through the Atwater Creamery case and what it means has been amazing. We've covered so much, the specifics, the impact, how it's playing out now, and what it might mean for the future. What are the biggest things you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
Three things really stick out to me. First, Atwater Creamery gave us this crucial reasonable expectations doctrine. It's like a shield for consumers in this crazy world of insurance. It reminds us that contracts should be understandable to regular people, that they should reflect what people would normally expect their coverage to be.
It's about making sure policyholders don't get tripped up by technicalities or hidden clauses that go against the whole reason for having insurance in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second, this case is a huge lesson for the insurance industry. Be clear. Insurers and agents, they have a duty to make their policies easy to understand, answer questions, and be partners in making sure their clients actually know what they're getting.
It's about building trust, not just throwing a contract at someone and hoping for the best.
Exactly. And finally, Atwater Creamery shows us that the law is always evolving. Technology changes, how we do business changes, what society expects changes. The law has to keep up.
So it's not enough to just know the old cases. We need to be thinking critically, talking about how the law needs to adapt to the challenges of today and tomorrow.
Couldn't said it better myself. The Atwater Creamery case isn't just history. It's a reminder that law, technology, and society are all intertwined.
This deep dive has been incredible. Thank you for joining me on this journey into the world of insurance law. And to all our listeners out there, remember, read those policies, ask questions, and don't be afraid to stand up for your rights as informed consumers.
The pleasure was all mine. And to everyone listening, keep learning, keep asking questions, and let's keep pushing for a fairer, more transparent insurance industry for everyone.